run, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelly and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for anybody but ourselves.
And we don't even speak that well for ourselves.
We don't, as you're about to discover. We don't speak for any of the A's or A-A-N-A-O-A-C-A-J, all
well,
that.
We know all them. All them there,
guys. We don't speak for none of them there, guys. Our views are ours and ours alone. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
Dude. Sweet. They didn't hear you, Shelly, because you have a vape to your
you're
mouth rather than a microphone.
You're talking into your vape.
Shelly's talking to her vape rather than her mic.
Okay, I'm here.
Sort of.
Yes.
In spirit.
We just had quite the round of strange discussions while
yes,
we were on
we
break.
Did.
Shelly's convinced I'm a drunk chick magnet.
You are drunk every time we went to karaoke. What happens? A drunk chick throws herself at you.
Clearly not every time. Clearly not every time.
Pretty much every time.
Although I did have a... I did a one chick, I'm singing, this chick is grinding on my leg, the bartendress.
Yes, the barmaid, and she goes up behind Bruce, and she's just going to town like
on
a
my
dog
leg.
With your, I mean, it was just the most amazing thing. And my sponsor and I are across the bar over by the pool table, and I thought we were going to pee our pants, we were laughing so hard. And he's looking at me like he's expecting me to do something about it, like, I'm. What do you want me to do?
Get her off.
Well...
Well, the girl at the bar...
I already got her off. You get her off.
This bar is on Yelp as being like the best... Like, they get all these rankings, but not because it's a spectacular bar, but because it's a spectacular dive bar. And everyone will say to go, this is the greatest dive bar in the area. It's called the Grand Inn. It's a little hole in the wall. And like, you read the reviews on Yelp, and it'll be like, yo, it's got everything a dive bar needs. It's got the red Naga hide... Boots where the
perfect.
Padding's all out in some areas and the things aren't the cushions aren't in straight. And it says drunk owner over in the corner. Drunk owner's drunk daughter working the bar.
And, taking off her top repeatedly.
And I sing this song. I sing this Scorpion song. And I do it well. And I walk over to the bar and this girl's like, and she's like this kind of drunk. She's like, oh, that was lovely. And I'm like, oh, thanks. I'm getting a Diet Pepsi. And she goes, Would you sing a song for me? And I'm like, well, what'd you have in mind? And she goes, and she looks me up and down. And she goes, Rod Stewart, Let's Spend the Night Together. And I'm like, and I look at her and I go, eh, I don't really do Rod Stewart. And she looks me up and down again. And she goes, but you do have a rod, don't you? And I'm like, okay. So I go over and I tell Shelly and her sponsor this story. And then it's my turn to sing again. And it's a tall table, and I'm leaning on the table. I've got one leg out behind me. Suddenly I feel someone grinding on my back leg. Shelly and her sponsor are cracking up on the other side of the room. And then the same girl and some other girl in the bar are like taking off their tops later. And our friend Lee is like, this is the greatest bar ever. And he goes, we should come back here next week. And we never went back
again. Never went back.
You know what's funny? Shelly looks at me and she goes, dude, this girl's grinding on your leg, and she goes, you were standing there, you didn't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, no, I know what to do.
I just didn't think that was the right place.
Just
didn't think that was the right place to do it.
Yeah, no, I know what to do, but I'm there with my wife, and this is not working. Oh, my God.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news.
Again?
And the news not fit for booze. Those are tight dudes.
Not as tight as my dudes.
Let's show them, Shelly.
I have tight. I have tight. That's pretty tight.
Ha!
That's pretty tight.
Yes. Ow. Okay, I've just run over my skirt with the chair there.
Yeah, that was
okay.
Not so tight.
All right, now where are we going? Can we put down the...
Yeah, no, where are you going?
Put down the vape, pick up the microphone.
We are in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah, you got to say it right. Atlanta.
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 At the Centers for Disease Control.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What are we doing there?
Well, it's not really a disease per se.
I was gonna say, hopefully this isn't a really bad story, because that's not a good place to have it.
We did a story, and a follow-up, actually, to the first story, about that horrible zombie drug in Russia called Crocodile.
We got it again.
Oh, Crocodile.
Crocodile, yes. Yeah. It has now appeared in the U.S.
Okay. Looking
for
a party?
Five people last weekend were hospitalized with symptoms similar to cases reported in, also, Utah, Arizona, and Oklahoma. Now, the CDC is not saying that it's definitely Crocodile, but the DEA is saying this pretty much is what happens to people that shoot up this drug.
And tell us what the symptoms are again.
Well, the drug is actually called desamorphine. It's a synthetic morphine analog. Basically what happens is the street versions obviously are not clean, like, you know, would be. And what happens is people that are addicted to it inject it, and then they get basically necrotizing fasciitis around the injection site. It becomes infected, and
it starts to fleshy.
Eats the flesh right off their bones. I mean, it like melts the flesh away. It's so disgusting. I've seen some pictures. It's horrifying. And also, the reason
let's try that. I mean, geez. God. Yeah, give them the website where they can get it, Shelly.
Yeah, right.
You can order it online from Russia. Crocodile.
The mildest repercussions from taking this drug, and it could happen the first time, it could happen the 20th time, you have no way of knowing. The mildest thing that will happen is you will have limbs amputated. But frequently, after a few times of taking this, the users die. Very quickly and horrifically.
How can you tell the difference?
Well, you really can't.
My wondering is, what could possibly make you want to do this? Even if I'd been doing tons of coke and I thought it was a slam of coke, if I saw that, why would you do it?
Well, it's called Crocodile or Crocodile, whatever, because it turns your skin scaly and rugged like a crocodile's skin and can turn green in patches.
Oh, yeah. That would make me want to do it.
Let's get that going.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna go to the Halloween party as a crocodile.
Crocodile.
Wow, that's disgusting.
in Wells, Nevada. We're going to Wells, Nevada.
Okay.
Deputies discovered recently two very large marijuana crops with more than 2,000 plants each. That's a good weekend. Interestingly enough,
that's like 4,000 pounds worth.
We're doing math in our heads.
Yeah.
God, that never goes away.
It never goes away.
A couple pounds, 2,000 plants, 4,000 pounds.
Now, they might not be in quite so much trouble as they are because they're growing it on federal land. So now they're in big trouble. Bigger trouble than they were before.
But nobody's checking it because the government was closed.
Well, apparently they are. Apparently the DEA was still open. Interestingly enough, one of the ways they spotted it so easily was because it's fall.
And everything else was orange? And these were green?
There were these giant patches of green amongst trees where all the leaves are falling off. So when you see the aerial shot of the area, like,
It looks dead except for right where the weed is.
It's like maybe this is not the best time of year to be planting stuff in an area where all the leaves are going to fall off.
Yeah,
if that's your cover.
No. it is the right time of year, but.
Well.
Perfect, as a matter of fact.
You got to get to. You do have the beach story, right?
Yes. I will scroll down to it if I start running out of time.
Oh, that's a good one.
And next up on the Deadpool, in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, Levy Batista is, her name is right at the top of that list right now. 36 years old, was just released from jail. She was married to Pablo Escobar.
Wasn't that the guy that got killed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Convicted drug dealer.
Yeah,
but they released her from jail and,
He didn't need three.
There were a lot of people that were kind of pissed off at him, and there were a lot of people pissed off at her. She was laundering money. She was part of the money laundering aspect of that whole operation. And when she got caught, she fingered five Oops. Other... Well, no, I mean, you know, she ratted out. She ratted out five...
I didn't even go
that
there.
That whole foreplay conversation from earlier.
She ratted out five high-ranking members of rival cartels.
I am completely surprised.
She rivaled out the competition. She ratted out the competition.
Yes, but
I'm completely surprised she made it out of prison.
Well, she was in for 10-year stretch. Got out in 4.
She had her own suite.
yeah, because she would have got shanked.
Oh no, sorry, 5 in 10-year. Something else. She was in for 5. Got out in 2. She may not have died in prison, but she's definitely on somebody's list. So,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck on the streets. In Lake County.
Bruce.
In Lake County.
Florida!
Thank you.
It's been so long since we've had a Florida story. Fran, the hell?
Let's see. Tamika Lewis and her boyfriend. She worked for the Department of Children and Families Services. Worked, I say in the past tense.
Oops.
Yeah.
You can tell where this is going already.
What'd
she do to her own kids?
Well, she and her boyfriend were partying one night, and I'm not exactly sure how this happens, but every single time we get one of these stories when people are drinking and partying and having fun, the next thing you know, they're out in the front yard screaming at each other, throwing car parts, and they're naked.
Oh, well.
So she was arrested for, among other things, indecent exposure and assault. She probably won't be working for the Department of Children and Family Services for very much longer.
I wouldn't
Why?
Think.
Doesn't say. She bashed in the windows of a van with it, his van. So.
Wanton destruction of personal property.
Yes.
Well,
they were fighting. Apparently, they were fighting. Part of the reason they were fighting because they were having an argument about their child.
Yeah, fighting over the kids. That's what happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Naked in the front
yard. That kid didn't bring me a beer fast enough.
Didn't hurt the kid, though, right?
No. Kid's fine.
The kid's in protective service right now with the courts.
Now let's see. Where was the one that Bruce wanted to make sure I got it so that...
Oh, it's a classic.
Oh, but wait. First, we have an update. Remember a couple of weeks ago...
Update.
Okay. Remember a couple of weeks ago we did the story about the toothless guy in England who gnawed the other guy's penis?
Yep.
Yeah, yes.
Practically
oh, yeah.
off.
We
they managed to reattach the member. The update is that the jury, regardless of the fact that when he went into jail, he had like 3 teeth on his bottom thing and had no teeth on the top, the jury did not believe him. They believe that he gnawed the man's penis off. Which would have taken a while. You'd think you would pick up a rock or knee him in the head or something.
I certainly would.
Anything. You wouldn't just stand there and let a toothless guy gnaw off your dick. I mean, I would think.
Yeah. You know what?
Unless you were enjoying the first couple of minutes of it.
Well, you know what? I would still say with only teeth on the bottom, I would say that if you clamp down real hard on someone's dick, you could probably take it off in one bite.
He had 3 teeth. It wasn't like he had lots of teeth.
Still.
At any rate, the jury did not believe his story, and he was sentenced to 8 years in jail.
That's all you get?
For gnawing off a dick?
What amazes me is that guys go to jail for rape for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Apparently the penis is worth more than the vagina.
Well, clearly.
It is to me.
Clearly.
It is to me.
All right. So that's the update on the toothless gnar.
Gnar.
As Bill said, he's very annoying.
Mm. Oh. Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
Okay, here we've got Bruce's story. This happened in Santa Cruz, California. I didn't know there was a nude beach in Santa Cruz, California, but apparently there is.
There are nude beaches everywhere.
Yes.
And this particular nude beach had a big surprise on Tuesday. A boat carrying 80 pounds of marijuana, capsized.
Yes!
Right, pretty much on the beach, like right there.
Yes. Had 120 pounds
Oh, no, 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 no. No, wait, oh. Wait. No, no, no.
Okay, go ahead.
The boat had come from Mexico. It had 1,000 pounds of weed on it.
Had 1,000 pounds of weed on it.
Okay.
Yes. They were able to unload most of the marijuana before the boat was abandoned.
All right.
So they only left 80 pounds on it.
Yeah.
So the other, you know, 920 pounds
is
out
gone.
And about in Santa
yes,
Cruz.
Is,
obviously
is,
wasn't in anybody's pockets.
They did say, it does say in the story that it was lower grade weed.
From Mexico.
Yeah.
That ragweed.
It says, the other thing it says in the story is that the boat, I guess the boat they escaped on with the 920 pounds, was filled with gasoline containers, and that probably helped them make their journey.
Yes.
All right.
On the nude beach.
On the nude beach. Usable. That was, you know.
Now, here's what I
wonder. That's a party. That is a party. I don't care who you are.
And this is what I wonder. Boat's capsizing. There's guys taking 920 pounds of weed off the boat. It's like, how many of these girls do you think went with these guys? Hey, can we go along? Taking 920 pounds of weed with you? You know these guys stopped and asked some girls. There's naked people all over the
place.
Yeah,
but you know what? Have you seen most of the people that go to nude beaches?
Yeah, it's not like Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
Well, I've been to Black's Beach before, down by San Diego. And it's like anywhere else. There's some good lookers and there's some not so good lookers. It's like anywhere else.
I was at I was on Martinique, and there was this guy that was a plastic surgeon, had his new wife with him, or his test model, as we called her. And she paraded up and down the beach every day, and this guy had his head on a swivel to see how many people noticed. We all noticed.
Everybody noticed.
It would be hard not to. The other story that Bruce sent in, Kuwait, the government of Kuwait.
Oh, this is classic.
Yes.
This is freaking classic.
They are claiming that they are developing a way to detect and prevent gays and lesbians from coming into the country.
Kuwaiti interruptus.
That's a good one.
Apparently, when you go into Kuwait, you have to go to a health center to get a medical check to assess your health. And they believe they can determine exactly who is gay and who is not.
With like a blood test.
Yes.
With a probe.
One thing they can do is keep transgender people out. Take a blood test. If you got the right number of the right type of chromosomes, according to what you're wearing, that would work.
Well.
But on the other hand,
if they have you disrobe and you have boobs and a dick, then that pretty much puts you in the transgender category.
Okay, but other than that, the board certified gynecologist in that area says that barring transgender men and women, I would be hard pressed to determine how a phenotypic homosexual man or woman could be identified. How do you come up with a test for that?
Apparently they have one.
I've got a test for it.
Put a Playboy and a Playgirl on the desk and see which one they pick up?
I was thinking more along the lines of, you know, if they gravitate toward the pictures of Barbara Streisand and what's her name, the other one,
Rosie
Liza
O'Donnell.
Minnelli.
If they walk into the office and you say hello to them and they go, hello, there you go.
Well, and if she's wearing a tool belt, that's a dead giveaway.
If she's wearing a tool belt, there you go.
I am so getting in trouble for that. But I will have you know, I've worn tool belts lots of times. So.
Kinky.
Peanut Gallery said, what kind of tools?
Kinky. Yeah.
Okay, and that,
drill.
My excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College
at selfwillhappens.com. So we got a topic sent in on the comment section of the recovery101.net page. Two people actually mentioned it. One mentioned it, which was Bill Piper, and he said, but I'm different.
He is.
And then another guy commented on that, I think it was Ron, commented on that and said, yes, I like Bill's topic, terminal uniqueness. Now, clearly, over the years, we've seen many people come into meetings that are new, and they have just determined that they're different than, you know, I'm not really alcoholic like you guys. I'm different. Everything about, you know, it whatever you guys do is great for you, but it's, you know, it's not going to work for me because I'm, or I don't need it. Shelly? Yeah. Yes. Microphone. Yes.
Sorry, I'm getting to the third show fatigue part.
So, what's your opinion on that, Shelly? People that are terminally unique or, but I'm different.
We're all different. So?
So? Who's the lead-out music guy? Shelly has spoken.
I think it is, for me, okay. Terminal uniqueness, actually, I can apply that to my case because I resisted getting any help or coming into the program or doing it because I knew, having grown up in the program, I knew where I needed to go. I didn't want to be like my dad. I'm different. I'm different from him. I don't want to be like that. So I resisted coming in. And you know what? I'm not like him. I'm like all of you guys.
But I'm different.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm different, too.
I'm like all of you guys. I'm different.
Now, Mark, you don't have the terminal uniqueness portion yourself because you came in. You were willing to do what anybody said. You stayed sober from day one.
I was so beat up when I walked in.
But you've seen other people.
I've seen it happen. And it usually goes something like this. But I'm not the same, but I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, I was just thinking.
The classic phrase.
I did it as a topic one time. Matter of fact, a person we have in the peanut gallery, Mark, said, I remember after that show, he's like, yeah, that's usually where things start going wrong for me.
Yeah.
When I said, I was just thinking.
I was thinking is the program equivalent of the redneck, here, hold my beer. Yeah. Things blow up afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, drinking a shot of tequila sounds like a good idea. Things usually are going south.
And not just south of the border.
Yeah, let's do shots. Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Now, you've had sponsees aplenty.
You know what? The majority of them think they're different, and they're right. They are different.
Let me tell you why I don't need to work that step.
No, they are different. They're different because they're not ready.
There you go. That would have been great closing words.
I'll have another one.
Now, when I came around, that was me, 100%. Went to my first meeting ever. Everybody in there was old.
Oh, God.
Like the way I am now. And, you know, I'm 20 years old. They're all 50s and 60s. There's two women in the room. One who was Eddie 90s. C's wife and 90s. One who was Camille.
Oh.
And, you know, both, you know, well, they weren't as old then, but they were older women. And I'm looking around the room. I'm like, first of all, I don't even think I'm an alcoholic because I'm different.
But these people are.
I have a little problem with cocaine, you know, because I did that non-habit-forming cocaine we had back in the
I didn't like cocaine.
70s and 80s.
I like the way it smelled.
Yeah, I didn't like cocaine. I liked the way it smelled. And I said, you know what? I'm not like these guys. I'm not like these guys. Mm-hmm. And I go back out. And, you know, I did that, you know, ad nauseum. 8.5 years, didn't get 90 days. I'm different, I'm different, I'm different, I'm different. Until I walked into a room where suddenly everyone was the same as me. And I said, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I guess I am one of these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I went to an AA meeting my first night. Went to a CA meeting night two. And I don't know if I'd continue going to AA meetings at that time if I'd have stuck around.
And you know what? If I had...
Very different.
Oh, well, you know what the problem was, though? When I was 20, there was no CA.
Yeah, that was...
And so that was a problem.
Yeah.
I never went to a CA meeting until 1989 and stayed sober after that.
Yeah.
No, actually, that's not true. I went to a CA meeting before that. But I arrived after the reading of Who is an Addict? Because the first time I heard the reading, Who is an Addict, I said, oh, my God, that's me.
I got to tell you, I'm trying to remember how many years I went to CA before we started reading Who is an Addict.
A while.
Yeah, because Who is an Addict didn't come along until the early.
It might have come around 88, 89, something
90,
like that.
Yeah, it was, you know, it wasn't being read at a lot of meetings.
They don't read it a lot now, even.
No, they've.
Some meetings have different readings. Now, Shelley, ever had a sponsee that thought they were different?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I had a doozy one time.
A doozy.
A doozy.
And I remember her name. First, well, it's a common name, Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
She had a different circumstance, you know. Everyone in her family still drinks.
Oh, well, that makes her different.
I have to go to these family events because, you know, family politics. And if I don't go, everybody's going to be beating the crap out of me emotionally. And I can't take that.
Okay.
And, you know, the steps
tell me how that works out for you.
I've tried to work the steps, you know, in other fellowships. I'm not sure that it'll work for me this time. But okay. I'm here because I don't really know what else to do. And she went on, I mean, this long list of exactly how she was different. And everything that she said was almost exactly what so many other people in the meetings have said. And I kept saying, okay, yeah, I got that. I know that. I've experienced that. So-and-so is, you know, I mean, blocking her objections at every turn. And I worked with her for about a month. And then one day she said, okay, we have a family party and it's a birthday party for somebody. I have to go, blah, blah, blah. I said, are you comfortable going? She said, no, not really. And I said, then don't go. You know, or, you know, I couldn't go that day. I asked her what day it was. I couldn't go, but I said, you know, we can get somebody to go with you if you really have to go. And she said, no, okay, I guess maybe I just won't go. And I thought,
she's gone.
She called me from the party. It was a little late by then.
How?
Yeah. I said, you know what? Why don't you call me tomorrow when you're sober and we can talk about this? And she never called me again. Yeah.
What is it with people that do that? You know, it's like they call you about 10 minutes later than they should have called you. They're like, they call and they, you know, I just had a couple drinks. Why are you calling me now?
For entertainment purposes.
Go back
purposes.
And finish.
For entertainment
you know,
purposes.
If you only had two drinks, you're not done for sure for tonight. Then you hear from them about 3 weeks later, they come and they're tore up.
Yeah.
I had a guy show up at my store. Used to go to the Thursday night meeting. Guy shows up today. He is tore up from the floor up. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go back to meetings. I go, oh, yeah, really? And he goes, well, you know, I thought I could do it. I'm like, how'd that work out for you? He goes, not so well. Yeah, no, not so well.
Life's great. I think I'll go back to meetings.
Yeah.
I'm on a winning streak. I'm coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, does that ever happen? Yeah, I just happened upon Cocaine Anonymous on the way to pick up my lottery winnings.
Yeah, look, you know, we come in, I mean, for some reason, we're programmed to think that everybody who shows up at a meeting needs the program.
Which is not always the case.
And the fact is, we keep talking about them getting into the steps, and in chapter 5 it clearly says, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get it, then you're ready to work the steps. Most of the people aren't, you know, they're not willing to do whatever it takes to get there.
True.
You know, you're not willing to go to any lengths, you're not ready. Don't bother. I mean, come in and hang around. Maybe some of it will wear off, you know, rub off on you, but if you're not ready, you're not ready. Go back out and do some more. Chances are some people prefer death, and it's okay. I don't give a crap if they die out there. I really don't.
Mark, yeah. If a syringe is falling from the sky?
I will use you as a shield and a heartbeat, my friend, and then I will help you get sober again.
What do you say, Shelley? Shelley steps over the bodies.
Yes, just like in my dream.
As do I.
I learned that from Mark.
Just like in your dream?
Remember when last week we were talking about my drinking dream when Mark was the one that was drinking and and he told us all we were losers. He'd been flying under the radar and then he passed out under the table.
Yeah.
We all stepped over him on the way to the meeting.
Yeah. Yes.
Because that's what he told me to do, step over the bodies.
When we go to our factory settings, we're loaded. That's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. The factory settings. Yeah. That's a show topic sometimes.
Yeah. You know, yeah. When we do, our default button is loaded. So if that's what we're supposed to do, then if somebody's going to go do it because this program isn't easy, but it can be really difficult for people who aren't ready to do it. And sometimes dying's easier.
It's all about change.
Yeah.
They used to have a commercial, and I can't remember what hospital or whatever it was for, and it talks about this guy, he falls in the river, and the river's just beating the crap out of him. I mean, he's going through the rapids, just beating the crap, and he grabs onto this rock, and he's still getting thrashed against the rock. He's getting beaten off the rock, but he doesn't want to let go of the rock. You know, he's getting the crap beat out of him. He doesn't want to let go of the rock because he doesn't know what's downstream. And, you know, it's like they tell you, when you come here, the only thing you have to change is everything. And when you come here and you think you're different than the people in there, why would you change? Why would you become one of those people? My favorite quote for that is, if you think the grass is greener on the other side, remember you still need to mow the lawn. The grass may, in fact, be greener, but you still got to cut it.
I was standing next to one of those empty pools or those empty out pools. At a ride at Raging Waters one day, and I'm standing there. This girl comes off the ride, and she hits the water, and she's thrashing and kicking and pushing and panicking. And the lifeguard goes, "Stand up!"
Yeah, it's like 3 feet deep.
She's in 3 feet of water. Right?
It's like she's drowning in 3 feet of water. It's like, stand up.
Yeah.
Okay. It's only waist level.
That's right.
The thing about the terminal uniqueness part of that is because, you know, we have these colossal egos.
No.
We don't always think we do, like. You know, the self-deprecating, oh, I suck, and you get the negative tapes going in your head about what a terrible person. Yeah. What a terrible person you are or whatever. But really, that's a form of ego. So we have these gigantic egos. We think we're different than everybody else. We're better than. And the thing that I liked about it, and this was my personal experience, and I've seen it happen in other people that stick around long enough, is not only do you lose your uniqueness, but you kind of revel in not being unique anymore. You're just like your fellows. And the other half of that is that what happened was all of these people that I was better than are now like some of my closest friends, and some of them are really whacked. They're weird, they're funny, they're quirky, and my level of tolerance.
Some quirky, yes.
Yeah, my level of tolerance for my fellow man, for human beings in general, not just in the program, is way higher than it used to be, because everybody's got a story, and what I've learned in the program is. I just want to hear their story. I just want to know what the story is because I find other people interesting. And it used to be that I didn't. I used to find things interesting and I didn't want to interact with people. Now I'm not as interested in the things and I would rather interact with the people. And part of that is losing that sense of uniqueness, that sense of importance, that ego. And I mean, I have got a long way to go still on that, but that's one of the things that I love about when you first come in and you sort of shed that. It's part of the awakening process.
That's why I like speaker meetings. I love to hear other people's stories.
Especially when you're the speaker, huh?
Yeah, well, that's my ego. no, don't get me wrong. I meant to mention it in the Step 12 show, but I love to speak. I absolutely love to speak.
In here an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. This program helped me get rid of my inferiority complex.
I love it when Mark speaks. Actually, one of the best speakers I've ever heard is Shelley.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love when Shelley speaks.
People are laughing, they're crying, they're getting OCD, they're, you know. Shelley, she speaks at a meeting one time, and she's barely starting her pitch, and she talks about being concerned because she knows that behind her, one of the windows, the shade is open, and on the other one, the shade is closed. And she goes, it's really, really bothering me right now. So someone goes up and closes the other shade.
And then peeks out of it for the next 30 minutes.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on terminal uniqueness be?
You may very well be terminally unique, but we love you anyway.
Aww, that's so sweet. Mark?
Like most terminal diseases, that one's deadly too.
Ooh. And I'll go to my old standby on this. If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. And if you don't like what you're getting, do something different. Shelley?
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark, people listen to the show.
Yeah, if you listen to the show, go to recovery101.net and do what we've asked you to do on the end of the last 200 shows.
Like, comment,
post. Follow.
Add to playlist.
Add to playlist. Thank you.
If you're on Facebook, we are Facebook friendly. Some of us. Mark, no Facebook page.
No Facebook.
You can go like the Recovery 101 radio fan page. Yep, I'd like to say that we went well over 4,000 now. So it's just zipping right along. If you would like to participate in a group but you don't want it appearing to other people, you can join the Recovery 101 radio group. If you ask to be a member, we will let you be a member. And you can interact with people that send in Boozy News and all that and us and everybody else. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelley!
Oh, wait, I have to interject something.
Oh, right.
Really quick, because I forgot to on the last show. I got a note. You know, speaking of Facebook, I got a note on Facebook from someone who was kind of shy but wanted to, you know, someone in early recovery that wanted to ask some questions and stuff. But was too shy to join the group at this time. Had been listening to the show a little bit. And speaking of being Facebook friendly, if you're not ready to join the group and you just want somebody to talk to for a minute.
Messages.
Yes. If you are a gentleman, I will refer you to my husband. And if you are a lady, I would be happy to talk to you. And my Facebook.
I'll talk to either one.
I know you will.
I'll talk to anybody.
Well, it's just, I just like to keep things appropriate. And I guess I would, of course, talk to you if you're a gentleman, but I'd also encourage you to talk to Bruce. But on Facebook, my name is Shelley Burnett. Just look up Shelley Burnett and look for the smiley chick with the short hair.
The smiley chick with the short hair. Yeah.
She's Smiley Cyrus.
Smiley Cyrus.
Smiley Cyrus.
I do not twerk.
Smiley Cyrus. So, epic pause.
Yeah, who's the music by now that you're done with
oh,
that?
Oh, crap.
I'm not familiar with that band.
Oh, I know. I want Evan Genitals. So sweet.
The Evan Genitals. Yes. I love the name of that. We heard those guys speak as a duo at a meeting. They were great. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
So much about him to love, and when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living, 'cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too, and in return I like to give him the weather, the stars above and all my morning dew. Ooh.
sadness sits on my face. When he disappears and it seems there's something special about him. Though everybody's special in their own special way, but there's something about his kind of special. His kind of special really makes my day. Love for me.